Hey, everybody, it's Michael Steele here. Now, I know you're waiting for the next big episode of the Michael Steele Podcast, but in the meantime, give a listen to this Michael Steele Podcast quick take. I have a great guest I've been excited to speak to, and I'm glad that she was able to join us. She is Susan Eisenhower, well-known in Washington as a policy strategist, CEO, and chairman of the Eisenhower Group. And for a significant part of her career, she has provided strategic counsel on business development, public affairs, and communication projects. Also has had the distinguished career as a policy analyst. She's a chairman emeritus at the Eisenhower Institute of Gettysburg College, where she served as president not once but twice. I guess you really liked that gig, right, Susan? Is that what it was? You really enjoyed being president. It kind of runs in the family, maybe, right? You know, two terms. What can you say? She has also been a fellow at Harvard's Institute of Politics and a distinguished fellow at the Nixon Center, now called the Center for National Interest. One of the exciting reasons I wanted to get her on the podcast was she has a great new book out, and it's called How Ike Led, The Principles Behind Eisenhower's Biggest Decisions. And why is it even more significant? Because she is the granddaughter of our former president, Dwight Eisenhower. And so it gives me a real special treat to welcome Susan Eisenhower to the podcast. Welcome.
Oh, Michael, thank you so much. This is a real treat.
Well, we've got a lot to get into. Before we get into the crazy and you know, all of that in politics right now, I really want to start and sort of break down the book. I was reading a number of reviews on it, and it's really interesting. I was taken by this one particular point. It said, Miss Eisenhower, a Washington strategy consultant and chairman of the Eisenhower Institute, makes no pretense. How Ike Led is not a biography, history, memoir. Instead, a unique story based upon personal experience, family letters, and interviews with Dwight Eisenhower's close friends and advisors. You personalize the president in a way that we've not seen in a long while, talking about his time as leader during World War II and his two terms as president. What is the takeaway you want folks to have about our former president, your grandfather, and his leadership style?
Well, first of all, Michael, thank you for asking that question and also for mentioning leadership style, because I would actually say it's a leadership book, which is why it's called How Ike Led. But I've approached it from a different angle, which is that most leadership books are very formulaic, you know, the 10-point plan for becoming a leader type thing.
Right.
But I wanted to humanize this man because this was a big part of his leadership. I think he's almost unique in making some of the most consequential decisions of the 20th century, both military and political, but especially when you think about World War II and mm-hmm. the enormous situation that was unfolding and what was at stake. His decision-making capacities were, you know, urgent and crucial. The presidency, few people look back on the 50s and think it was as turbulent as it was, but a lot of things, the rules of the game were changing. Technology, including the hydrogen bomb, had just come onto the scene. There was rapid technological change. He was the first president to preside over the space age. And all of these changes required getting set up and creating frameworks for the future. And so I wrote the book because how does a person who bears that kind of responsibility, how do they think about life? And I hope that's the contribution I made, because I assert that he led with both his head and his heart, which is what drew people to him.
What was a distinguishing characteristic that you could draw out about that leadership? Was it in the way he... handle command and control? Was it decisions? Was it a level of empathy that he brought to it? Sternness? I mean, what were some of the characteristics that defined his leadership that really, you know, at a critical time in the country's history, as you just noted, a lot of things on a number of fronts were beginning to explode in the 1950s when he became president, coming off the heels of a very successful war, but costly war. And so, I mean, he had that sobering perspective of what the nation had just been through, but real time could see what its future potential could be. And that required a certain set of skill sets as a leader.
Well, let me, if I may, answer it half analytically and half personally. And by the way, I should say, Michael, this is the first time I've ever put my grandfather into a piece of analysis or what I knew about him. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was time that we heard that additional voice. On a personal side, let me just say that it's very clear he had seen some of the darkest places humankind has ever gone. He liberated a concentration camp and set the policy that exists today. You know, thank God he insisted that the Holocaust be chronicled, or Holocaust deniers would have no evidence to refute their assertions. And yet, for all those dark places and all those dark things he'd seen, he never, I can say this personally, he was never hard or cynical or bitter, or he maintained an enormous optimism about the future, and he was always interested in the future and to try and mold the post-war period in a way that would avert catastrophe like that from ever happening again. Now, as an analyst, and by the way, my family was well taught how to compartmentalize these two things, I think his attraction to the American public is that they trusted him.
Right.
11 men had been in uniform during World War II, and most of them in the European theater, and he was their commander-in-chief, and they trusted him, and part of the reason they trusted him was that he did have an empathy for them. I think that scene of Ike with the 101st Airborne just before they set off to go to Normandy, he had been told by his technical experts that between 50 and 70% of those young men would not survive. And Eisenhower didn't believe that was the case. He thought that they had, you know, gone through all the planning very carefully and this and that, but he still had the empathy and the courage to go look those young men in the faces. And he didn't give them a pep talk about what they're about to do. They were well trained and they knew what they were about to do. But he talked to them about home and fishing and hunting. He even talked about football scores with them to kind of give them a lift and a mm-hmm. way to think about what they were going to come, that they could come back to, you know, a home. And so I think that's a very important, because empathy is actually fundamental to trust, and trust is fundamental to great leadership. Then I would say you can have all the trust in the world, but if you're not organized and if you're not disciplined, then things can fall apart. And in that, he had the experience of the war to really put together an administration that pursued the facts wherever they went, and to try and shape an environment that would meet a set of long-term strategic goals.
Thanks for downloading this Michael Steele podcast quick take. Now, you can always find us on Apple Podcasts, where, guess what? You can review us. You can give us 5 stars. Oh, yeah, I love the 5-star rating. Or you can catch us on iHeart, Stitcher, TuneIn, or wherever you get your podcasts. See you soon.
Your local Health Mart pharmacy is putting the personal care back in healthcare. We know you by name, not by refill number. Visit healthmart.com for the location near you. Health Mart, caring for you and about you.
Everyone loses golf balls, even the pros. When you need golf balls, go to lostgolfballs.com, the world's largest inventory of used golf balls. All the top brands, in stock, 50% off retail. lostgolfballs.com.